the headlines, Iran's security chief says the United States' increased military activities in West Asia stems from Washington's fear of the consequences of its past acts of mischief. The U.S. House of Representatives deals a blow to President Donald Trump by voting to override his veto of the defense bill. And South Africa tightens its COVID-19 restrictions, it's extending a nationwide curfew as infections surpass the 1 million mark in the country. Thank you for joining us. My name is Kisumi Shahmagi, and these are top stories this hour. The Secretary of Iran's Supreme National Security Council says the U.S. Army has increased its activities in West Asia out of fear of the consequences of Washington's past mischievous acts. Ali Shamkhani added that security and stability in West Asia will not be achieved unless American forces leave the region. A week ago, the U.S. Navy announced the arrival of a nuclear-powered submarine in the Persian Gulf, accompanied by two warships. The U.S. has increased its military presence in the region as the anniversary of the assassination of Iranian General Qasem Soleimani is approaching. Washington fears Iran might again strike U.S. forces in retaliation for Soleimani's assassination. Iran has time and again said it does not want to initiate a conflict, but it will not hesitate to defend itself in the face of any U.S. aggression. Former U.S. Army officer Scott Bennett says Zionist-controlled military-industrial complexes seek a false flag attack in the Persian Gulf to divert attention from the unfolding civil war in the U.S.
I think the military-industrial complex Zionists, as they have in the past, are trying to deceive President Trump and trying to amplify and exaggerate the situation and the tensions to possibly launch some sort of a false flag attack or try and trigger a conflict in the Persian Gulf against Iran to distract people away from the unfolding civil war in the United States, which is going to begin rapidly increasing after January 6th, when President Trump exposes the Chinese Communist Party and the election meddling and the fraud and the false flag attacks that were done in the United States. That is the real tension. So any trying to draw Iran in or blame Iran for kinetic operations or say Iran's a danger, I think is a distraction away from the real wars in America.
People in the Gaza Strip say they will never forget the sacrifices made by the top Iranian commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, who was assassinated by the U.S. a year ago. General Soleimani was among the main supporters of the Palestinian people's struggle for freedom and justice. Our correspondent Ashraf Shannon has the details.
Palestinians in the Gaza Strip have expressed gratitude to Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani 1 year after his assassination by U.S. forces in the Iraqi capital Baghdad. Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani played a major role in strengthening Palestinian resistance movements against the Israeli regime.
We commemorate the first anniversary of the martyrdom of the great commander Haj Qasem Soleimani, who died for the sake of Jerusalem al-Quds. This anniversary comes amid great pressures on the resistance in the region. On this occasion, we vow to follow in the footsteps of the commander to liberate Palestine.
Following the assassination of General Soleimani, Palestinians held several events to pay tribute to the late Iranian commander. They considered him as a hero for Palestine and Jerusalem al-Quds.
On the anniversary of the martyrdom of Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, we express our great gratitude for sacrifices he made for the sake of oppressed Palestinians.
The assassination of General Soleimani on Donald Trump's orders has sent shockwaves across the West Asia. Soleimani's memory continues to live in the hearts and minds of Palestinians in the blockaded Gaza Strip. الشعب الفلسطيني يؤكد دور
Palestinians will continue to remain steadfast and condemn the treason by some Arab countries that have normalized ties with the Zionist regime. On this occasion, Palestinians also vow to fight the occupation until regaining their freedom.
Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani was assassinated in a U.S. airstrike on January 3rd. Palestinians say martyr Qasem Soleimani has sacrificed his life for the sake of Palestine and Jerusalem al-Quds and has always supported Palestinian resistance against the Zionist regime. Ashraf Shanan, Gaza.
As we are getting closer to the first anniversary of the assassination of Iran's top commander, Lieutenant General Qasem Soleimani, by the U.S. in Iraq, people have begun to hold ceremonies to pay tribute to him. Homan Abadi attended an event in the city of Qom.
Ahead of the first anniversary of the assassination of the former commander of the Quds Force of Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps, General Qasem Soleimani, people are now holding commemoration ceremonies to pay respect to this late Iranian icon. We went to the city of Qom, where a movement called Resistance Youth Front is formed to support the cause of General Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, who defeated the ominous phenomenon of Daesh. Scholars, youth, activists, and resistance movement supporters from countries like Iraq, Syria, Yemen, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Bangladesh, and India attended the ceremony to tell the world that General Soleimani's cause will not be forgotten.
It's a great pleasure for all of us, for all the people of the world who are free, who just think freely, okay? So such kind of attribution actually led us to not only memorize or recall their memory, actually also to follow their path. That is the path of humanity. That is the real war on terror, war against terror.
Shahid Qasem Soleimani and Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, they fight for saving the life of all mankind. Of all Muslim and non-Muslim.
General Qasem Soleimani was assassinated by a U.S. strike on January 3rd last year when he was on an official visit to the Iraqi capital Baghdad. Hitting his convoy, the assault also led to the death of many others, including Abu Mahdi al-Muhandis, deputy commander of Iraq's Popular Mobilization Units, or Hashd al-Shaabi.
Apart from this ceremony held here, within the coming days, a number of other events will be held across Iran under health protocols to pay tribute to General Qasem Soleimani. Human Abedi, Qom.
The first anniversary of the U.S. assassination of Iran's anti-terror icon, General Qasem Soleimani, is just around the corner. Our correspondents in Afghanistan, Lebanon, and Yemen have talked to a number of people in those countries about this assassination. Let's take a listen.
The assassination of General Qasem Soleimani has not largely affected Iran's regional policies. The U.S. had thought that it could challenge Iran by assassinating the general, but it failed to do so. Likewise, the Islamic Republic has pressed ahead with its policies in the region.
General Soleimani was a key figure in combating terrorism and had a very active role in this regard. The United States assassinated him because it was aware of that fact.
Commander Soleimani was a devout Muslim who sacrificed his most precious possessions in order to protect and resurrect his nation and his people. He did most give the humiliation until he rose to the rank of martyr.
The martyrdom of General Qasem Soleimani represented a great loss to the Islamic nation, as he was an example to be followed for the axis of resistance in the Middle East.
The killing of Soleimani was a loss to all Muslims. Whenever a hero goes, there are other people who continue the path of resistance. God willing, we will win.
This martyrdom proves the tyrannical and aggressive nature of the U.S. administration and also shows that resistance is deeply rooted in the hearts and minds of people. Whoever thinks that by killing a leader they can extinguish the flame of resistance, they are wrong.
The Democratic-controlled U.S. House of Representatives has voted to override President Donald Trump's veto of a $740 billion defense bill. The 382-22 vote, which enjoyed the support of more than 100 Republicans, leaves the legislation's fate to the Senate of the Republican-led chamber. Seconds the House action, it would be the first veto override of Trump's presidency. Separately, the House voted to increase the COVID-19 relief checks to $2,000. This bill, which meets Trump's demands for bigger payments, has now been sent to the Senate. Trump has threatened to block a $2.3 trillion pandemic aid and a spending package if Congress did not boost the stimulus payments. He later backed down from his threat and signed them, averting a possible government shutdown and restoring unemployment benefits to millions of Americans. Officials in the U.S. city of Columbus have announced the dismissal of a white police officer who fatally shot an unarmed black man last week. The Columbus City Police Chief said the evidence provided solid rationale for the officer Adam Coy's termination. The incident unfolded on Tuesday after officers responded to a non-emergency complaint about a man turning a car on and off for an extended period. Shortly after the officers arrived, the victim, identified as Andre Maurice Hill, approached them on foot with his left hand holding a cell phone. Body camera footage shows the officer shot Hill less than 10 seconds after finding him in a garage. The incident comes as anger boils in the U.S. over police brutality against African Americans. Now it seems that we have our correspondent Ronnie Carvalho with us. Ronnie, if you could please tell us more about the different aspects of what's happening in the U.S. House of Representatives and how the Senate can amplify that regarding Donald Trump's veto.
Absolutely. I believe that the main news of all that is, besides the veto or the right of the veto of the Trump's and to be the first one, I believe is the number of GOPs, Republicans. They are joining forces with the Democrats right now. Many GOP lawmakers are struggling over how to align themselves or continue to align themselves with Trump. Many of them are tired of everything that happened. A growing number of Republicans have broken with Trump in recent days over his false claims of fraud, because he took too long to approve the relief funds or the help to the COVID relief. Also the refuse to concede. So when 109 Republicans joins forces with the Democrats, this is something new. This is something that, of course, you have to remember that 87 of the lower chamber, the congressmen and women, they are still voting in favor of Trump. So those are the ones that we should be looking at on the January 6th when they start counting the electoral votes, if those 87 will be the same people that will be obstructing. But this bill, of course, is not done yet. They have to go to the Senate and see how the Senate will act, what's the behavior of that. Some of them are saying that if they do not approve, if they don't pass the $2,000 per person relief fund, which will be an increase of $1,400 since $600 was already approved. Some of them are connecting the two things. I only override the $740 billion for the National Defense Authorization Act, known as the defense bill, if the $2,000 is approved. So it's something that we need to see maybe tomorrow.
So, Ronnie, considering the fact that, as you mentioned so yourself, more than 300 representatives actually voted against Trump, how do you think the Senate will react? Is it predictable at this point?
No, it's not predictable. But they have to understand something very important. They have to choose what they have to be loyal to. Loyal to the president who is leaving, they just have a few more days, or loyal to the legislation, loyal to their mandate. Some of them, if in the Congress, in the lower chamber, they have two more years. In the Senate, they have six more years. And in just a few weeks or days, Trump is gone. So who you need to be loyal to? That's the question.
Thank you very much, Ronnie Carvalho, our correspondent, live from Miami. Moving on, South Africa has imposed new nationwide restrictions amid the rising number of coronavirus cases and a variant of the disease recently detected in the country. The government has ordered a total ban on alcohol sales and the cancellation of events while making mask wearing mandatory in public. The restrictions follow a steep rise, in COVID infections that have pushed the country's total caseload to over 1 million. South Africa is now the worst-hit country on the continent in terms of infections. It has also recorded nearly 27,000 deaths so far. The discovery of a new COVID variant has prompted many countries, including Britain and Germany, to ban flights to and from South Africa. Meanwhile, a World Health Organization official has said that the planet should be ready for even more lethal infections.
And I will say one thing, and it may come as a shock to people. This pandemic has been very severe. It's spread around the world extremely quickly. It has affected every corner of this planet. But this is not necessarily the big one. This virus is very transmissible, and it kills people, and it has deprived so many people of loved ones. But its current case fatality is reasonably low in comparison to other emerging diseases.
WHO Health Emergencies Executive Director also warned that emerging diseases have a much fatality risk. The COVID-19 pandemic has claimed over 1.7 million lives globally and infected over 81 million people. Over the last couple of weeks, several nations, including Britain, Russia, the United States, Canada, Mexico, and Chile, have begun vaccinating their citizens with COVID-19 vaccines. More countries are now following suit or are on the process of purchasing coronavirus vaccines to launch vaccination programs. The Palestinian Prime Minister has called on the international community to put an end to the Israeli regime's settlement plans in the occupied territories. Mohammad Shataya called on the world to embrace UN Security Council Resolution 2334, which denounces Israeli colonial projects. The Prime Minister also urged the UN to set up teams with a mission to protect the Palestinian people in the occupied West Bank villages from settler attacks. Shataya also said that Israel's new plans show a flagrant disregard for international position that opposes the settlements. Israelis have driven up their settlement activities and the demolition of Palestinian homes in recent years with the backing of the United States. The regime's expansionist agenda has repeatedly been denounced by rights organizations. And an explosion has claimed the lives of three French soldiers during an operation in southern Mali. The statement from the French presidency says the troops died after an improvised explosive device hit their armored vehicle in the Hambouri region. They were part of France's Bakarna military operations in the West African nations. The fatalities bring to 47 the number of French troops killed since their deployment in Mali in 2013. Over 5,000 French troops are currently in the Sahel region to help fight militants alongside soldiers from several African countries. That brings us to the end of this edition now for World News.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
The ability of millions of Americans to pay rent and buy groceries hangs in a balance. And Donald Trump spent the day golfing, says Jake Johnson, writer, in an article published under the heading, Shameful. Trump golfs, tweets election lies as 14 million set to lose unemployment benefits just after Christmas. Stay tuned, please, for the details of this article. After threatening to blow up a $900 billion coronavirus relief package over several 11-hour demands, one of which is being blocked by his own party, President Donald Trump spent Christmas Eve golfing in Florida and tweeting election lies as millions of desperate Americans were left worrying that they will soon be deprived of their few remaining economic lifelines. If Trump doesn't sign the newly passed relief measure, an estimated 14 million jobless Americans will lose unemployment benefits on Saturday. A federal eviction moratorium will expire at year's end, and billions of dollars in nutrition aid and rental assistance will be left in the balance, as fresh economic metrics make clear that the recession is nowhere near over. Are we going to have to suffer longer? You just pray somebody comes to their senses. Samara Crockett, a 43-year-old single mom who was laid off in September, told the Washington Post, I'm in survival mode. Do I get gas or food? What do I do? That's what my days are like. Emergency unemployment benefits were already set to lapse temporarily due to months of obstruction by the Republican-controlled Senate. But Trump's last-minute objections to the legislation, which he did not raise during negotiations over the measure, imperiled the bill's extension of and $300 weekly increase in jobless aid. Should Trump wait or later sign the relief legislation, the delay will effectively cut the extension of the expiring unemployment programs to 10 weeks from 11, Ben Castleman of the New York Times noted. Here's why. The bill says that the benefits won't be available for any week of unemployment commencing before the date of enactment of this act, Castleman wrote. So if Trump doesn't sign the bill until next week, people can't get benefits until the following week. But the end date of benefits doesn't change. March 14th, with a phase-out lasting until April 5th, so workers would effectively lose a week of benefits. Note this applies to the $300 supplement as well. Senator Ron Wyden, who fought unsuccessfully for larger weekly unemployment payments in the new bill, told the Times that Trump's temper tantrum is threatening to cost millions of jobless workers a week's worth of income. The ability of millions of Americans to pay rent and buy groceries hangs in a balance. And Donald Trump spent the day golfing, said Wyden. It's shameful. Congressional leaders have recently signed the sprawling 5,600-page package, which includes both the coronavirus relief measure and a $1.4 trillion omnibus government funding bill, and the White House sent it to Florida for the president's possible approval. Trump has reportedly not decided whether he will sign the legislation, which will die on January 3rd with the end of current Congress. Additionally, the government will shut down on December 29th if Trump doesn't sign the package. In Washington, D.C., meanwhile, House Republicans blocked the Democratic attempt to pass $2,000 direct payments that Trump claimed to want in a video address released earlier this week, a day after Congress approved the coronavirus relief package. Trump has not publicly criticized members of his party for blocking the $2,000 payments, which progressives have been advocating for months. This holiday season, families are being forced to make incredibly difficult decisions, such as whether they should keep their lights on or buy groceries. Representative Rashida Tlaib said in a statement recently, "It's time for Trump to stop bluffing and get the members of his party in line so that the government can provide this long overdue relief to people across the U.S. during this time of great need." House Democrats are planning to hold a floor vote on standalone legislation that would replace the $600 direct payments currently in the relief bill with $2,000 checks. While the measure is expected to pass the House, it remains unclear whether Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell would even allow a vote on the increased payments. Congress must pass $2,000 in direct payments and Trump must sign the COVID relief bill, Senator Bernie Sanders tweeted recently. If not, tens of millions of Americans will lose their unemployment benefits, go hungry, and face eviction. This would be a level of governmental cruelty not seen in our lifetimes.
Food for thought.
Hello to all of our listeners and condolences to you all on the anniversary of the martyrdom of the noblest lady of all times, Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her. the daughter of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Here is a famous statement from her noble father on her merits. Fatima is a part of me. Whoever hurts her has hurt me. And whoever hurts me displeases God.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we're going to look at some principles of upbringing children so that the audience gets a detailed description of the matter concerning how to raise their children Islamically. The main source is the book Children in the Quran and Sunnah, compiled by Ayatollah Ray Shahri. And we have in our studio guest speaker Sister Salma Khalfan, who is an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qum. Assalamu alaikum and welcome to the program, Sister Salma.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Thank you so much for inviting me over.
Thank you very much for being here. So we were discussing about the wrong expectations we have from our children in our previous session. And you mentioned a few things towards the end that we should try and give them more flexibility and small things shouldn't be treated so big. So we hoped you could tell us more.
Yeah, there's one more mistake that the parents make, as in having wrong expectations, is also one mistake. But in that also, some parents expect too much achievements from the children.
Mm-hmm.
And they feel disappointed if the child does not achieve, because they start comparing.
Yeah.
You see, they don't see the ability of the child himself, that how wonderful Allah has made everybody to be so different.
That's true.
In siblings, if you see, they're all different. So what of the people at large? All different, children are all different, right? So what you should encourage is to see his abilities and also encourage him and how happy he was doing the work.
Exactly.
Make sure that he does the struggle on his part, of course.
And maybe you should focus on the part where he's doing it, not the reason why he's doing it. So, you know, focus on how it's important. For example, if they want to prepare for a sports day, you know, playing the sports in itself, it's so much fun. It has so many benefits. Not only that, okay, you're there to win, you have to, you know, win this competition and keep
absolutely
that in his mind.
Yeah.
You know?
That spoils him. In fact, that makes him feel stressed that if I don't win, I won't be acknowledged or something like that.
Yeah.
Make the process be a pleasure. I always stress that the process of drawing and coloring to my little one is so beautiful that even if she ended up, you know, doing the wrong colors or taking all the colors out of the picture, I feel that she was so happy doing it.
Exactly.
And to encourage them makes a better result the next time, of course, because
Definitely.
They feel that I'm happy and my parents are happy with that, you know, and this is not a mistake at all then.
Yeah.
Give pleasure whilst doing the task.
Mm.
Not the achievement is the pleasure, no. The struggle. Even Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays emphasis on the struggle in the Holy Quran.
Definitely.
That struggle and the achievement is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So who are we as parents to want achievement from our children, right?
Yeah.
And then we start comparing and then we feel like sad about it, and the child even feels sad about it, and then he feels the self-esteem growing lesser in him. He doesn't feel confident to do it the next time.
Yeah.
He feels anyway he wouldn't do it properly, so what's the use of trying? But if he keeps on trying, exercise gives results, right?
Definitely.
In the end, he will do a great thing.
Exactly. I feel like even if they have a bit of a competitive mind, you know, like even in the Quran we're told to compete towards good.
Yeah.
But I think that what they mean over there is not having this mindset that you're only there to win, and if you don't, and if you get anything below that, you know, you've lost and you're useless. No, it's just that even if you go, you have to try and reach that goal. But if you don't reach there, it's okay. You have to stand up, try again. You know, this process is important.
Yeah,
as long as you're trying.
The process is the reward,
yeah,
actually. Not the achievement. When people mistake it, even in like when we're talking about sawab, they think sawab is something you get after the deed is performed.
Mm-hmm.
Like prayer gets a lot of sawab. The sawab of prayer is actually being in the prayer,
exactly,
having the pleasure of getting closeness with Allah during the time of prayer.
Yeah.
So everything of sawab, you know, the concept is to get the pleasure while doing it.
Mm.
That's what Allah wants the best for us, right?
Yeah.
So we should inculcate that in our child too, not having the wrong expectation or over expectations to wanting them to achieve or to bring something to result, you know, to give us a result. The result is the struggle.
Yeah.
Now I'll go to another mistake that commonly parents do make is negative behavior. Sometimes negative behavior is due to themselves. The parents are moody people, so they don't have that energy to, you know, behave well with the surroundings that come by. Sometimes they get depressed about certain matters. And many things like this happen to make themselves the reason of this negative behavior.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't come from somebody else.
Mm.
So sometimes it's themselves.
That's very
and
true.
Sometimes it's also the children who portray or do something to make this negative behavior come out. Inshallah, we'll discuss that.
Yeah, yeah. So we're just going to take a short break and inshallah, we'll continue with this discussion. Dear audience, stay tuned.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
You're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, and this is Islamic Upbringing with our dear sister, Sister Salma Khalfan. So, we were talking about the common mistakes and the expectations we have from our children, and you ended with telling us about one of the mistakes that parents do, which was negative behavior, which causes negative behavior. And you said sometimes it's because of the parents themselves, that maybe they are moody and hence, you know, the child tends to do these kind of behaviors. So you were telling us more about that.
One of the ways of showing this negative behavior is criticizing in everything. The parents sometimes have this kind of character in them that they want to criticize and complain in everything. So life becomes so miserable for children who have to deal with these kind of parents, so who are constantly negative. They do not forget mistakes of the children.
Yeah.
They, you know, they complain on small issues. They're also predicting always the worst to happen. Like, for example, if a child is just done a small mistake, they'll come back to the past and say, you don't study hard. Make it like a statement, you know, you never study hard. You know, you'll always fail. Or, for example, your room is always in a mess. Or when you grow up, how will you deal with your life?
Yeah.
You know, if you're dirty at this age, you wouldn't know how to do. Maybe they don't know there are stages to want requirements from a child,
yeah.
Stages of growth. Stages of understanding, having conceptual knowledge. All these things take so much time. A child doesn't have that conceptual knowledge. He wants to see it. He usually tells his feelings.
Yeah,
what
exactly.
He sees around. He feels good about it. He needs to be explained with love. But if parents do this kind of criticism always, you know, then it's too much destructive for the children. And the children will always even begin to be like that. It's like role modeling. When you're good and you're, you know, you're always encouraging them, they'll also learn how to encourage themselves.
Very
but
true.
If you're always criticizing them, they'll also learn how to criticize.
You know, like just what you said, by saying that you're always dirty, the child will feel, there's no need for me to become better because I'll always be dirty.
Yeah.
This kind of thing, when it is said to a child, they feel like, that is the way they are then, you know.
It's so much destructive,
yeah,
right?
So it's very bad, very true.
Even discipline, when they do, they you know, like have harsh words to say. Instead of saying it slowly, politely, it's like a negative behavior. All in all, it's a negative behavior. Parents have not come to settle to terms with themselves. Like they should know themselves, first of all. Who are they? They accept their roles as the parents, accept it, and then do the best they can, right?
Yeah.
But they forget. They want to play other roles so well. For example, the role as a wife, maybe the role as a friend, the role as a sister, the role as a daughter of their own parents.
Yeah.
But they forget that they have the role of a mother.
Which is at the moment the most
important. And that is completely not being negative.
Hmm.
You have to be all positive to have this positive nature. It would shift to the child also.
Yeah, because I guess what you do, your actions, the child is more learning from that. So if you are a certain way, the child will end up, you know, being more in that way.
Yeah.
So inshallah, we're just going to take another short break and we're going to continue this very interesting discussion after it. Please stay tuned.
Yeah.
The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, "Honor your children and teach them good manners."
Okay, so you're back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran. The show is Islamic Upbringing with our dear sister, Sister Salma Khalfan. So we have been talking about one of the mistakes that parents do which causes negative behavior. And you say that sometimes the parents are moody at times and they end up criticizing too much, or they don't forget the mistakes of their children, and hence they always try and tell the children that, you know, you'll never change, or things like that, and always predict the worst.
Yeah. So a child will never learn how to have the joy of a child if he hears so much complaints. He won't have this enthusiasm to live. He'll grow up with a lot of difficulty in that way, that he'll feel that life is always being unfair to him.
Yeah.
Such people also, they have this habit of complaining not only about the situations around them, but of people also. So you can imagine that they're always gossiping. So the child also learns how to talk about people and always gossip about people. So this negative behavior brings about so many ill effects.
Yeah.
Within the home, within the society, when the child grows up, his generation, all they become, you know, firmly in him, this negative behavior carries on and on like a bad virus, you know.
Exactly.
And ruins that state of peace and tranquility that is very much needed to soar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yeah, I think when parents say that, why is my child like this, so, you know, why aren't they becoming good? They have to realize that they have to make the means, you know, ready for them. They have to set the grounds for the child. And if they don't do that appropriately, then what do they expect? Like, how can they expect more from their child?
Yeah. So I guess the opposite should be done. Let's look at life positively.
Yeah.
And when you do that, you know, you always look at everything, troubles and, you know, pains and sorrows, everything positively. That there's a kind of a growth for that Allah has kept in you. Otherwise, when such people face trials, they even can go as far as being kufr, saying why Allah chose me for this?
Mm.
I didn't deserve that. Whilst in Islam, it says that the more tribulation comes, the more you get closer to Allah, right? The more your sins are wiped away. And you get the fruit of that reward of bearing that with patience, right?
Yeah.
Because life can never be without problems. This is Allah has made us come to this world with this kind of nature and this kind of atmosphere to train us to decide from right and wrong so that we can go towards perfection, and there will be very many hurdles for that.
Yeah.
So we should be careful on that. We shouldn't expect the best every time. So negativity brings about complaining of everything, and then it leads to even complaining about Allah. And we have seen many people doing that, you know. When we see why people are doing so much kufr, they feel it's unfair on them, it's because of the negativity that started off in the home.
Yeah, unfortunately, we don't realize that. So basically, everything should first start at home.
Of course.
You should first make your house and your home such a place that it's always full of positivity. Your child can grow up in that surrounding. That was important.
Yeah. And also the suizan of the people can be so much lessened, when you don't think negatively of people. You always see the bright side of people. And Allah loves that so much.
Yeah, very true. So inshallah that we are able to emulate in this, and we are able to, you know, work on ourselves, because definitely we need to work on ourselves as well,
exactly,
if we want our children to, you know, become good people. Thank you very much, and thank you, audience, for joining us on this program. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions, please contact us at our email, englishradio@irib.ir, and visit us at our website, parstoday.com. Inshallah, until the next episode, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Islam solves all of its problems. Allah leaves no stone unturned. Perfect with no flaws at all are the laws of Allah. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is the way of life, a complete way. It's the complete way.
These days, we do most of our communication via social media. It comes in handy, especially during the time of coronavirus. But it isn't safe for everyone. This is why many young girls are quitting social media. According to a new global survey by the rights group Plan International, nearly 60% of all female users of online platforms, including Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, have experienced harassment. This is what is driving young girls from across the world to get away from social media. In the US, three times as many girls reporting being harassed online or by text message than boys, according to the National Center for Education Statistics.
It's terrifying. As a mother of a young girl, I try to instill in her the importance of other things besides the way she looks. And I think if we as adults and as a society talk to our young girls about the importance of their mind and other extracurricular activities and other things besides the way they look, maybe we can make some difference. Maybe we can make a change. Maybe they won't feel as much pressure to judge one another.
According to Tamara, girls are not being put down by strangers online, but people they know.
Now it's not just, oh, the people in my school or the people in my class. It's thousands of people that go on social media and can see this one girl's post about this other girl. And can you imagine how much trauma that would cause that one girl knowing, you know, one of my peers just said this thing about me and it's true or it's not true, but it's out there for the world to see, and how devastating that would be for that young girl.
According to the study by Plan International, one in five girls has abandoned or cut down her use of a social media platform after being targeted. Attacks were most common on US-based media platforms. Here are the statistics. Facebook, 39% of girls polled said they had been harassed, followed by Instagram, 23%, WhatsApp, 14%, Snapchat, 10%, Twitter, 9%, and TikTok, 6%. The survey polled 14,000 girls and young women aged 15 to 25 in 22 countries, including Brazil, India, Nigeria, Spain, Thailand, and the United States. Not too long ago in Australia, a child model took her life due to online abuse.
Thank you to everybody for the overwhelming love and support that the family has received over the last few days. We realise many people have travelled a long way to be with us today, and we appreciate everyone who came along today to say farewell to our beautiful daughter and our beautiful little sister Dolly.
In Germany, two-thirds of the children have smartphones by the age of 11, making it a hub for cyberbullying, especially the abuse of little girls. For years, international entities have tried to rein in the social media apps, almost all of them being large American conglomerates profiteering off of anything on their platforms. According to the British counselling group Safety Net, social networks' failure to tackle cyberbullying is risking the mental health of young people. The other problem is that kids aren't talking. Safety Net reports that two-thirds of British social media users said they would not tell their parents if they experienced something upsetting online. This prompted Duke of Cambridge Prince William to take a stance all on his own in this regard.
For me, the issue of cyberbullying and its consequences are personal. My work as a HEMS pilot, air ambulance pilot, has exposed me to the tragedy of suicide and the despair felt by those who've been subjected to cruelty and abuse. Through my work on mental health, I've spent time getting to know parents and children for whom the impact of online bullying has been devastating. And as a parent myself, I understand the sense of loss and anger of those particular families who have lost children after they were the targets of campaigns of harassment. I feel a responsibility to do what I can to help.
But more must be done. The United Nations says that leaders, public figures, and parents must all do more to protect children. Every year on November 20th, the United Nations holds an annual event for World Children Day. November 20th is an important date for the UN, as it is the date in 1959 when the UN General Assembly adopted the Declaration of the Rights of the Child. It is also the date in 1989 when the UN General Assembly adopted the Convention on the Rights of the Child. Last year's event, the specific topic of social media abuse, was touched upon in detail.
I'm convinced that social media doesn't have to be a place of fear, bullying, and harassment. It can bring people together. It can be a place of love and support. Somewhere in the world right now, a teenage girl is being bullied online. She's scared, she's vulnerable, she feels alone. My message to her is this: you are not alone. There are people who care about you, and there are people who will listen if you reach out for help.
No one at that specific event blamed the large conglomerates for the child abuse on their platforms. Simply put, companies are not using profits to protect children. Even the Vatican took note of this, and the Pope called on social media companies to take action. That was back in 2017, and according to Plan International, nothing has changed. Shortly after Plan International published its 2020 survey, Facebook and Instagram said they used artificial intelligence to look for bullying content, constantly monitored users' reports of abuse, and always removed rape threats. Twitter said it also used technology to catch abusive content and has launched tools to improve users' control over their conversations. These methods have proven to have failed, as these platforms might be unknowingly encouraging abuse. Those behind the abuse are getting away with their behavior, according to the survey. For now, it seems that as young girls are catching on to the inaction of huge businesses to protect them, they are just shunning social media. This marks a new trend in an environment where social media and digital communication is being promoted for convenience and, of course, because of the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. It shows that girls have simply had enough, and if world leaders and businesses aren't taking the necessary action, then they certainly will.
IRIBE English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. you can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.